Blog Talk Radio.
Call guest call in.
Being a part of what we're doing today. Alhamdulillah. I just heard the unmuted, so inshallah. Walaikum as-salam. Walaikum as-salam. That's our sponsor and the Blog Talk Radio. That's one of our imams. And that's Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad. We want to welcome him and the Blog Talk Radio audience and everyone who has joined us today for the Jummah in California, Northern California, on the east side, Brother Falah. And everyone who's joined us today, may Allah bless each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and get started with our Jummah. We just called the second adhan. And we always open the Jummah in addition to saying, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We always open the Jummah seeking refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. And the Jummah is started with what Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, our forever leader, the best of all of the messengers. He used a beginning khutbah called Khutbah al-Hajja. And the opening words of his Khutbah al-Hajja was, or is, Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati ahmalana. Man yahdi allahu wa la madilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Now that is the Arabic, and that is the language that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, spoke. And the Holy Quran, teachings in al-Islam, are in that language, generated in that language, revealed in that language. And we're going to use the translation so that everybody on the radio who is not very familiar with the Arabic will understand what we're saying. And the translation into English is, praise be to Allah. We seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own deeds, of our own souls, and from our bad deeds, from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one and only. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Holy Quran was revealed, as his servant and Allah's messenger. Alhamdulillah. That means all praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah for guiding us and giving us the strength and the time, the will, and the ability to obey, to come together every Friday for the Jummah prayer, for the Jummah gathering. And this gathering that we call Juma, it just means to congregate. It means to come together so that you can remember Allah and to praise Him for what He does for you, what Allah does for all of us. Allah is our creator. Allah is our guide. Allah is the one who has the mightiest. He has the real spirit. Everything, everything proceeds from Allah or comes from Allah, is because of Allah. And we thank Allah for blessing us and for giving us the heart and the mind, the soul, the morality, for giving us the decency and the humility to call on Him and to bow down to Him. You heard me say that we seek refuge with Allah. We seek safety. We seek help with Allah against our bad deeds, our own bad deeds. We seek refuge with Allah against the evils of our own soul, things that we do, that we want, that we desire, that causes us to disobey Allah or to go astray from what Allah has given us in His perfect guidance. Allah has revealed what He wants us to do with ourselves so that we will be worshiping Him in the way that He wants us to worship Him. But sometimes we fail in that. Sometimes we weak in that. We ask Allah to forgive us, to help us be stronger, to make us pay more attention to what He has revealed, the words that He has sent to us through Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, the words that He sent to Muhammad for his guidance and for the guidance of all of those who follow Muhammad. He is the best human being that ever lived, and He is even better than all of the other messengers who received revelation or guidance from Allah. Muhammad's way of living, the guidance that he received from Allah, peace be upon him, the guidance that Muhammad, peace be upon him, received from Allah is better and was carried out better, I'll put it like that, more fulfilled and better because Allah gave Muhammad a guidance that was so perfect that there is no other revelation or guidance needed to come after it as revelation in the form of a book. It is the final guidance. It is the completed guidance. It's better than what Jesus received, peace be upon him. A lot of people don't know Jesus is a Muslim too. Jesus is a guide too. He says, I'm in the world, and when I'm in the world, I am the light of the world as a human being. He said, when I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he says, one day I have to go away. And so when Jesus went away, he said, I'm going away, but I'll send to you a comforter, and he will lead you into all truth. We know that that's Muhammad. If there's another human being coming with all truth and with a guidance that's so good that Jesus himself, peace be upon him, would say, I have to go away, but I'm going to send to you or refer you to or asking you to understand that there's something better coming, another human being coming, then he was talking about Muhammad. Because Muhammad, peace be upon him, his guidance is the best guidance that ever came to any human being. And we know that his guidance is a completed guidance and that he has a name called Khair Mursaleen, which means that he is the best of all human beings, even better than all of the other messengers. And Muhammad was a messenger. Jesus was a messenger. Moses was a messenger. Noah was a messenger. David, Solomon, Joseph. You've heard these names, brothers and sisters. Let us receive what Allah has given us. What choice do you have? Who am I? Who are you to say that you could say something better than Allah? The Holy Quran tells us the guidance that came to Muhammad, Allah revealed in that guidance, Almighty God revealed in that guidance, it says, who can say things better than Allah? Who can give better guidance than Allah himself, the creator himself? The creator created you. Who are you to say what you want the creator to do or to be or how you want him to fashion you or guide you or what he wants for you? No, he is the one who has made you and has given you and everything else his guidance. He is the one who has given you what you need to be successful with your life. Hold on one second, brothers and sisters. Don't hang up. We have callers calling in all the time. Alhamdulillah. Oh, Praise to Allah. All praises to Allah. Stay on the line. Peace be upon you, brothers and sisters. Welcome to our Jumu'ah today. We're talking about the guidance of Allah going to Muhammad and being a better guidance than any guidance that was sent to anyone else. That Muhammad is called not only the best human being that ever lived, but he is even better than all of the top human beings, the other messengers. And we have already mentioned some of them. We mentioned that Muhammad's guidance and Muhammad's leadership and Muhammad's fulfillment of his mission and the total mission that Allah wants for human beings, Muhammad is better than what Jesus had. Muhammad is better than what Moses had, better than what Abraham had, better than all of them, peace be upon them. His guidance and his mission and his ability to carry out what he was ordered to do, commanded to do by Allah, is better than what anybody else ever got or ever will get. It's called the completed mission, and Muhammad is called the seal of the prophets. He is the seal. In other words, it's closed off. It's finished. It's completed. He's called Khairul Mursaleen, the best. So that's it. We don't have any need for anything else. Our situation, our duty, is to live, to obey, carry out what we've been ordered. If we will live, obey, carry out what we've been ordered, we will be doing a mighty thing for ourselves, a mighty thing for our families, a mighty thing for our community, a mighty thing for the world, because the world will be a more peaceful place. After all, our religion, our way of life is called the peace, the total submission to that which Allah has revealed, the total submission to Allah, to his guidance. If we do that, oh, we'll have an excellent life. We'll be so happy. We won't have to be begging and crying all the time, asking Allah to forgive us for these mistakes that we're going to keep making if we don't follow that good guidance, that perfect guidance. Muhammad is the best because he, peace be upon him, because he obeyed the best. He obeyed what is right. He obeyed what he received. And that's our job. That's our job, brothers and sisters. This is the most comprehensive. It is the best. It answers every concern. Allah says, "La yatunika bil bi mathalin, illa jitnaka bil haqqi wa ahsana tafsira." In other words, there is no question or concern that could be asked or inquired into except that Allah reveals the truth about it and he explains it or has sent the best explanation of it in the Quran, the book that we have in our hands. It wasn't always in book form or paper form. It was revealed to Muhammad, and he spoke those words to all those around him, and he lived those words that were in his heart, put into his heart by Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, who fashioned him just like he wanted, just like Allah wanted him to be fashioned. If we follow his guidance, if we follow his way of living it, we won't go astray. And that's what the prophet, peace be upon him, said. He said, if you will follow the revelation of Allah, he said in the book, because it was more and more becoming a book form, being written down by his scribes, his family members, his friends. And so it was more and more becoming a book. And he said that if you will follow the book of Allah and my way of living the book of Allah, which he called his sunnah, he said, you will never go astray, brothers and sisters. We should be so happy. And even if we can't do everything that we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it, we should be so thankful just to see ourselves as included in people that has the favor of Allah on them. How do you get the favor of Allah on you? You stop trying to do bad things. You stop obeying bad things. But first you get it in your heart that you believe that Allah is divine, that he's perfect, that he's the creator, that he has everything ready for you, that he loves you and he wants you to be successful. And when you see that, you should say, I bear witness that there's a being who loves me, who cares about me, who's created me, who wants the best for me. I bear witness that there is a being like that. So what you're saying is, I bear witness that there's no God except Allah. I bear witness that there's nothing and no one that tops being worthy of worship except Allah. In fact, I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Then you are saying Then you say, and I bear witness that Muhammad, who fulfilled his obligations, who carried out the duties and the mission, who obeyed Allah the most and the best, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you, peace be upon him, he said, if you obey the book of Allah and my way of living the book of Allah, if you obey the book of Allah, the Quran, and my sunnah, he said, you'll never go astray. So here we are. Did he say, you'll never commit a sin? No, he didn't say that. Did he say, you'll never make a big mistake? No, he didn't say that. But you will not ever go astray for an instant long enough for you to realize that, oh, I'm making a mistake. Oh, I'm doing a big sin. Oh, I'm getting off the path. I got to stay on the straight path. We call it Sirat al-Mustaqim, the path that leads straight to Allah. When you see yourself making things, doing things that are against the guidance of Allah, that are mentioned, it's mentioned right in the Holy Quran. And it's mentioned in the everyday life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we call his sunnah. And so you can see yourself when you're making a mistake. You know when you kind of messing up, well, you should get right back on the path. You say, oh, Allah, forgive me. And Allah says that he is quick in answering your call and forgiving you. If you be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord, this is a verse in the Holy Quran, that he is quick in forgiving you. He says, if you will walk to me, I will run to you. Now, that's in the hadith or in the sayings of Muhammad. That's in the sunnah of Muhammad, that Allah revealed to him that if you will return to Allah, ask Allah to forgive you, beg Allah to forgive you, if you will pray to Allah for help and strength and guidance and sustenance, provisions, we call it. Provisions is what? Food, not just food. Food, clothing, shelter, mind strength, decency, honor, to be the desire to be on the right path, the desire to be in the right place, time, doing the right thing, the desire to obey Allah in every single thing you do, to have that deep in you, in your heart as a desire is a huge blessing. Huge blessing. Wanting and striving to obey Allah. Huge blessing, brothers and sisters. Let's be that way. Then Allah is going to help you. He's going to guide you. He says, if you're that way, he said, you'll begin. He said, if you love him like that and you obey him like that, if you become a friend to Allah like that, you will begin to see angels in the street like you see people. That's what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. What does that mean? Does that mean you'll see some white person with bird wings on his back or a black person with bird wings, brown, whatever you want? No, he won't be a human being. Angels are made of light. Remember these things that your religion teaches you, because you're totally surrounded by people who have a whole nother idea of what religion is, and most of their ideas are wrong. Most of their ideas are false. Most of their ideas are steeped in, drenched in, superstition, falsehood, what do they call that, a mythology, fairy tales, cartoon-type stuff, nonsense, guesswork, lies, false doctrines. Most of the stuff that's around us, that's what's speaking to us every day. So you have to have a strong commitment to the real reality. That's one of the attributes of Allah. Al-Haq. Al-Haq means the real reality. He is the real from which other realities proceed. Al-Haq, the truth. He is the truth or the reality from which other things are made. Allah is the source of all reality. That in our minds, in our hearts, let's keep that in our everyday behavior. What's wrong with you stopping and reading the Holy Quran and learning the verses of what the Prophet, peace be upon him, lived every day? Why don't you spend about 10 minutes five times a day? At prayer time, if you want to, or just stop whenever you want to and just open the Quran and read for about 10 minutes. You can't do 10? Okay, do 5. If you were to do that 5 times a day, that's almost a half an hour of reading the Quran every day. Some people don't read the Holy Quran a half an hour in a month. Some don't read a half an hour, hate to say it, in a year. Maybe next Ramadan they'll open up the Quran, because there is a very, very, very strong commandment for the believer to be in touch with what Allah says in the Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan, the month of fasting. We actually are fasting in celebration for the fact that Allah has revealed his words to mankind, so we will have guidance. But brothers and sisters, do yourself a big favor, and don't wait for Ramadan to open the Quran, where everything seems kind of vague and unfamiliar to you because you haven't opened it in a year. What's wrong with looking at the Quran some every day, a little bit every day? If you can do more, guess what? You're going to get more blessings. Because Allah says, through Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, he says, for every letter that you read of the Quran, every letter that you recite, every letter that you listen to, every letter earns you 10 rewards. Every letter earns you 10 rewards, not just words. You know, words are made up of letters. So you might read a few words and gain 100 rewards. If there's 10 letters in the words, you might say, you might read in the Quran, it says, praise be to Allah. And you say, praise be to Allah. That's got to be about 100 rewards there, brothers and sisters. Allah, five letters. If you include the vowels, you got Allah, you got Alhamdu, means all praise is due to. You know, so here's 100 rewards. 100 rewards from the Lord of the world. One of those rewards might be to ward off some kind of danger for you that day. You know, we love to escape pain. We love to get away from pain and harm, but we love money, don't we? The reward might be you might walk up on some money. Trust me, Allah is my witness. I walked up on $100 the other day. Now, that's not going to happen every day, but I got that $100, and I was able to do something serious with it. Your phone bill might be $100. Your phone bill might be $50 or something like that. I could take care of a little business with $100. But Allah gives us way more than that. Allah gives you good health. You get a certain age and money don't mean nothing. You can't even get to the store to get to spend the money. You might not have the knowledge of how to spend it over the internet to order what you want. You may be homeless. You may have no, you might have a phone, but you don't have nowhere to have the order of the thing you want dropped to your address because you don't have an address. But Allah's blessed you with good health. If you got good health, there's a time when good health and what you call it, being able-bodied, means way more than money. Means way more than money. All praises to Allah. So let us be awake. Excuse me. Yeah, and work. Let us be awake to all of the good things that Allah sends to us. So read your Quran. Make your prayers. The Muslims pray five times a day. Who are we praying to? We're praying to Allah Most High. Are we praying to Jesus? No. Are we praying to Muhammad? No. Are we praying to Moses? No. Are we praying to Abraham, Noah, any of them, peace be upon them? No, we're not praying to human beings. Muslims do not pray to human beings. Muslims do not pray to images. Muslims, by law, by the laws of the Creator, by the laws of the Creator, the Creator of nature, we are not allowed to worship anything in nature. We are only allowed to worship the Creator of nature. Creator of all things, and we are not allowed to associate or join anything in partnership with him. So is Moses a partner with Allah? No. Is Jesus a partner with Allah? No. Is Muhammad a partner with Allah? No. When I look in the mirror, is myself, my beauty, my strength, my youth, my money, are any of those things a partner with Allah? No. Are any animals or plants or jewels or treasures, any of that, a partner with Allah? No. Allah says in the Holy Quran, who can help you even if it was an army? You know, on the earth now, we know some countries have, I think it's about 5 or 6, maybe as many as 10 countries that have over 1 million men and women in their armies. Over 1 million. Some countries have over 2 million soldiers. Can they help you more than Allah can help you? No. If they were to kill you and cut you to pieces, where will you go? You won't go to them. You won't go in the ground. Your soul will go to Allah. Even if they put your body in the ground, if they left your body on the ground, your soul will return to Allah and you will be judged just like they'll be judged. The Muslim is to strive to do as many righteous deeds as he can do. Make your prayers. Read the Quran. Believe in Allah with all your might, your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Believe in Allah with your treasures, with your property, with your anything you have. Believe in Allah with your whole self. Because only Allah will help you. Only Allah will forgive you. Only Allah will save you. Only Allah is the judge. Allah is the judge. Al-Hakim, the judge. Does he make mistakes? No. He's called Al-Hakim, the wise judge. He's called Al-Adl, Al-Adl, the one who judges justly and perfectly, fairly, with justice. Allah knows everything you've done in your whole life. He is the one who created you and brought you into existence, which means that he knew you before you came into yourself. You might have heard the old people say, I knew you before you knew yourself. Well, Allah knew you before you knew yourself. He knew them before they knew themselves. Allah knew the whole creation. He says in the Holy Quran, whenever he intends a thing, he only says be, and it is. Whenever he intends a thing, yakulu anything, yakunu kun fayakun. He only intends, whenever he intends anything, he only says to it be, and that's when it is. Alhamdulillah. So let us wake up and let us be close to Allah, as close as we can. The more we obey Allah, the closer we come to Allah, the more rewarded we are. The more happy we'll be, the more we'll have treasures, and the more we'll have joy in our lives. Even when you make a mistake, you'll ask Allah to forgive you, and Allah will take that worry or that fear off of your conscience, and you won't drive yourself crazy and stress yourself to death and dig your brain out by worrying about what's going to happen now. Look what I did. Oh, what a horrible mistake. Satan wants you to worry yourself until you get to the point to where you say, oh, there's no hope for me. I might as well just go ahead and stay in this fire. Might as well go ahead and stay in this self-imposed fire. Because Allah says he uses the fire to ward you off from evil. And he uses the fire that if you won't come away from the fire, he'll let you stay in it and burn forever because you have become an evil one. But a Muslim is not an evil one. A Muslim is one who submits to Allah, and Allah's will is that you be happy, that you be successful, that you be strong. So when you make a mistake, say, oh, Allah, Allah says, be quick in the race of forgiveness from your Lord. That's a verse in the Holy Quran. Be quick in the race of forgiveness from your Lord, and that his power and his reach is over all things. He says that if you went everywhere on the earth and made sins, he said he has forgiveness greater than that. He says if your sins were as big as the earth or bigger, he has forgiveness greater than that. So brothers and sisters, let us stop worrying ourselves to death. Just stay away from wrongdoing and thank Allah for what he does for you each and every day. Be strong. What's wrong with being powerful? Why do some people insist upon being weak? Why do some people insist upon being miserable? I love it in the Holy Quran where Prophet Esau, Jesus, peace be upon him, and I believe it was Yahya, his cousin, peace be upon him. He was a messenger of Allah too, prophet of Allah too. And in the Quran it says one of the statements of one of them or both of them is that I am not overbearing or miserable. Allah has caused me to be kind to my mother. I am not overbearing or miserable. I am not one to give myself to misery and hopelessness and worry and stress and fear. How can you be living in worry and stress and fear when Allah tells you to put your hope in him and he says on his friends there'll be no fear? Ala inna awliyallahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Behold on the fear, behold on the friends of Allah, there is no fear, nor shall they have cause, nor have they cause to grieve. We believe these kinds of things. We can bounce back from our mistakes. We can bounce back from our worries and fears and the fear of others. Allah says there was a situation. The believers were told that the enemy is coming to get you. The enemies are coming to get you. They're going to jump on you. They're going to destroy you. They're going to kill all of y'all. It said at first the believers were afraid, and then all of a sudden it occurred to them, why am I being afraid? It said, but they realized that Allah is their protector and their helper, that Allah is their friend. And so then their fear went away. And they fought the unbelievers, and they got victory over them. That's what you got to do. Allah says in the Quran that the believers can get victory over the forces of the devil. Allah tells us don't follow in the footsteps of the devil. That's his loss right there, is when he knows you're not going to follow him. When the devil knows that he can't get you, he is frustrated. Prophet Muhammad, the prayer of the peace be upon him, told us that when you are reciting the Quran, that the devil goes past you. He don't want to be near your house. He don't want to be near your environment when you're remembering Allah in the Holy Quran or reciting the verses of the Holy Quran. But who is there, though? Allah is there, and his angels are there. The angels are listening. Their invisible light gets brighter and brighter. They care for you. They protect you. They love you. They pray for you. The angels. Angels praying for me? Yes. Angels praying for you. Allah protecting me, guiding me, helping me, showing me the right way. Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, really loves me? Yes, he does. There's no greater love. All love and all help, all guidance, all assurance proceeds from Allah. So if we say that Jesus loves you, Moses loves you, Abraham loves you, Adam loves you, David loves you, Muhammad loves you. Yes, they do love you. But the only reason they can love you is because Allah gave them love to love you with. We need to sprinkle their breath or their blood on us to receive Allah's help and Allah's guidance. On the friends of Allah, just being a friend of Allah, there is no fear, nor do they have cause to grieve. It's the prophets who pray to Almighty God. It's the messengers of Allah who pray for his guidance, pray for sustenance to come, who pray for food, who pray for fruits or whatever. Give us fruits. Give us food. Let us sit at the table so we can eat of a meal that you prepared, Allah. It's not talking about physical food. Yes, we get physical food. I mean, the devils, the evil ones, eat physical food too. Allah gives you something greater than physical food. He gives you moral nourishment. He gives you the strength of willpower. He gives you faith in his spirit and in his truth, in his words. He gives you faith in his guidance. He gives you the faith that he will pull you out of any dark situation or any ignorance, any superstition, any nonsense. Your problem is following this crazy world that's full of darkness, that's full of ignorance, that's full of superstition, fairy tales, lies, superstitions, false doctrine. They say the Pope went up there and asked the Indians to forgive him for all of the nonsense and the craziness that he heaped upon them, for the Europeans, the white people putting smallpox on blankets and giving it to the Indians. You should really be asking forgiveness from the black people, because for hundreds of years, Pope after Pope after Pope after Pope after Pope sat on his butt and watched the Europeans rape Africa and many other areas, but especially rape and brutalize and harvest the people of West Africa, the black-skinned people. So the Pope should be on his knees. He should be crawling to you. He should be begging you. He should say, may Allah forgive me. He should change his religion based on, he shouldn't say, in the name of Jesus, I ask your forgiveness. Because they had been lying for centuries that they were coming in the name of Jesus. They had plenty of chances to ask forgiveness for what they were doing. But Pope after Pope after Pope sat there on their butts with jewels on from Africa, gold that came from Africa, diamonds that came from Africa, people that came from Africa, and didn't one time say, y'all, stop it. Stop it. Leave those people alone. I excommunicate you and curse you if you go to Africa and bother the black-skinned people anymore and take them to America and other places and use them like animals and rape them and do whatever you want to with them and breed them almost, inbreed them, or what do you call it, inbreed them and give them all kinds of problems, psychological problems for centuries. Don't you know the mental weaknesses, the psychological weaknesses, all of the syndromes, the drugs, the bad habits of gambling, drinking, feeling miserable, depression. Don't you know all those things are outgrowths of the brutal abuse that happened to the black-skinned people and the Indian people and other people? You better realize it, because too many people are in denial. They'll get mad at somebody that look like them and go and shoot them and sell them drugs and all that stuff, steal their stuff, break in their house, molest them, kidnap them, murder them. But the Europeans, too many of the people that look like us are still praying to them. Go to the church where it might be 10,000 black people in there, and up on the wall is the image of a European image. They talk about that's God, a son of God. Brothers and sisters, we are the only ones, Muslims, are the only ones that have the power to break these horrible, superstitious spells that have been put on us. The lies of the white man as the son of God put on us. I'm not talking race here. I'm talking history. These are the lies, and these are the penalties. These are the wicked pronouncements and so-called laws of their people that they were putting on us and getting us to live by. We're obeying laws that are completely opposed to our future peace and existence, to our liberty, freedom, justice. We're still obeying laws in this society that are diametrically opposed to us being successful in life. Yes, I know we can learn algebra, we can learn the sciences, we can learn to fly in the spaceship. Come right back and go into the church and pray to the white man up on the wall and say, thank you for letting me be like that. No, you should be saying, thank you, Allah, that you are letting me live long enough to get to the point to where we're beginning to see the end of all of the falsehood. We're seeing the reality of the falsehood that the Europeans have been using, and the mythology and the lies and the superstition and the force, the evil force of their polices and armies that they're using against us, the self-hatred that they're teaching us. Thank you, Allah, for letting us get to the end of that so that we can now stand up as your worship and you alone, as a truly liberated people, saying that there's nothing and no one on the planet in the creation that's worthy of worship except Allah, and we will do what Allah wants us to do now. And you'll see yourself getting stronger and stronger and smarter and smarter. And you'll see yourself starting to rebuild yourself and rebuild your good senses and rebuild your family life, rebuild the institutions that will make you strong and will show you, prove to you that you are smarter in the head, that you're more merciful in the heart, that you're more just in your logic and in your rules than the European people are. You'll see yourself as being less brutal and cruel to nature and other people than the Europeans are. You'll see yourself as being naturally, innately intelligent and having a sense of where you're supposed to be going in your life. You'll see that grow, and you'll see us stop using the drugs. You'll see us stop murdering ourselves and others. You'll see us stop being a torn-up family. I was reading in the Holy Quran where it says that chapter 4, verse 34, it says that men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has made men stronger. He's made them stronger than the females. He's made one stronger than the other. He's talking about the male being stronger than the females. And I was telling my son, look at how the females, even if they're in a group, they'll try to chase down some animals, or they'll fight off some animals that are threatening them, the female lions, fight off. But they can't handle it like when the male lion comes on, and with one swipe of his mighty paw, he might break the back of the jackals or the hyenas that's trying to harass the females and take the food that they brought down for their food and for their young ones. That is something that happens throughout creation. In most instances, the males, singularly or in a small group, are mightier than a whole group of females. The females have to stop once a month because they have a period where Allah subjects them to serious weakness and serious pain and is a proof that they cannot keep on their feet and coexist with the man on the level that he can exist. I think I'm saying that right, that they cannot exist on the level that he can exist. They cannot perform, that's a better word, on the same level as the male, because Allah says in the Holy Quran and in nature, throughout the physical creation, that he has made one of their kind. They need each other, but he has made one of them stronger than the other, and that's the male. Brothers and sisters, we better wake up and quit challenging what Allah has said. And a lot of females will say, I've heard him. What I need you for? Or challenge a male, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. They got songs about that. On my own. We better wake up. And what is it, this society, what has this society? It's not her fault. She's a victim. It's not his fault. They're victims. It's not the family's fault. They're victims. The evil ones who were harvesting Africa made up rules and laws and ways and pressures that made the female believe that she could get more favor if she just used her female innocence, her female charms, her female weakness, and let the oppressor do whatever he wanted to do. But what was the oppressor trying to do to the males? He locked them up. He put them in a cage because he know by nature that male, if he can get loose, he will kill the oppressor. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, fight oppression. He says oppression is worse than slaughter. It's better to be dead than to let something oppress you for a time. You know that we've been abused, enslaved, murdered, oppressed, outrageously abused for hundreds of years. But like I said in another talk, I think it was a week or so ago, how long would the children of Israel, the Jews, let you oppress them? How long would the Jews let you oppress them? They say to kill one of them is like killing the whole world. That's what the Jew thinks of himself. Killing one of them is like killing the whole world, and he says that he is the chosen one of God. God chooses him and has chosen them to be their leaders. And even though the Jews came before the Christians, and the Christians were the ones that say they love Jesus so much, they're the ones who dare to say and repeat that, yes, 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 the Jews are the chosen ones. Oh, so how you going to worship Jesus and then say the Jews were the chosen ones? I know you say Jesus was a Jew, the king of the Jews, but I'm here to tell you what Allah tells us, that Jesus is a Muslim because he submitted himself to the will of Almighty God, and he was against the children of Israel that would not obey him to such a degree that he said that they were cursed. He said that they were the children of Satan. So who are you going to believe? You better believe that Jesus is a Muslim, and you better believe that Jesus said that there will be one that come after him that will take you into all truth. Have you found anything that even little old me has said today in this talk that is not true? Everything we said in this talk today comes from truth. It comes with truth. It comes in truth. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that there is not a question. That there is not a question or a concern except that Allah brings the truth about it. He brings to you the truth about it and the best explanation thereof. So, brothers and sisters, let us believe in Allah. Let us believe in his messenger, Muhammad, who has come with all truth, the final truth, which is the Holy Quran. Every day, you should read some of the Holy Quran. Every day, you should read some of the Holy Quran. Every day, you should believe in Allah. All day, you should believe that Allah can help you in every circumstance, that there is not a situation that can happen that Allah won't show you either immediately or in time, or if you get in the Holy Quran and do your research like you're supposed to and read it and value it like you're supposed to, that you won't find the answer to. You will find the answer to it. And the best explanation of how Allah wants you to understand it and see it.
Yes.
So you believe in Allah. You have full faith in Allah. You have faith in his messenger who brought you the Holy Quran. You pray your five daily prayers. You pray your prayers. Fajr prayer. You pray your Zuhr prayer. You pray your Asr prayer. You pray your Maghrib prayer. You pray your Isha prayer. You know the prayers. You should pray them. You pay in charity. You give in charity. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every day that the sun rises, the believer has to do charity. Every day. And he says, every act of charity, he said, charity burns up sin like water extinguishes fire. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, charity, peace be upon him, said, charity burns up sin or destroys sin like water destroys fire. We believe these things. That's why we keep growing. All we got to do is be Muslim. We're not waiting for no big old bang and all that stuff. Shoot, there's big old bangs be happening every day in your life. You better be trying to keep all them big old bangs and nonsense out of your life and just be a good person. Be as clean as you can be. Be as prayerful as you can be. Give some charity. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you do a bad act, he said, give some charity. He said, because charity destroys sinfulness. When you do a bad deed, follow it up with a good deed and then wipe it out. That's a verse in the Quran. When you do a bad deed, follow it up with a good deed and it will wipe it out. So we give in charity. We fast during the month of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan, those 30 days, those 29 or 30 days, we fast. And the reason that we're fasting is because we're showing Allah gratitude for giving us the Holy Quran as guidance, for giving us a time to where we can stop and assess and get control of ourselves in the way that Allah wants us to give, for us to get control of ourselves by the words that's in the Holy Quran. So there is the controlling guidance for us. That's the information that will help us set the right course, or I should say get on the right course, because the course is already set with the words that are in the Holy Quran that came straight from Allah through Muhammad that made him the best human being that ever lived, and we can become that way too by being his followers. We'll have excellence in our lives. So we thank Allah for giving us the Ramadan, and we show Allah that we can control ourselves by fasting during the daylight hours. We say, guess what? I'm going to get control of myself. I'm going to get control of my appetites. That's what the fasting is about. Getting control of your appetites. Getting control of your urges. Getting control of your feelings. Getting control of your bad habits that you have been developing for maybe a whole year since last Ramadan. A lot can happen to you in a year, brothers and sisters. The scientists say you can regain your life. You can regain control of yourself. You can regain control of your discipline with just 30 days of practicing a new thing. Just 30 days. Now, did they get that from what Allah says in the fasting, or did they somehow say, are they somehow saying they discovered that? Either way, brothers and sisters, and we know the guidance comes from Allah, but either way, that 30 days of Ramadan helps you. And then Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah says, that if you will fast 6 more days right after Ramadan, right after the Eid, if you'll fast 6 more days, it'll be like you're fasting all the time. So you fast during the month of Ramadan gives you enough discipline to last you to the next Ramadan. But if you fast the 6 days of the month of Shawwal, it'll be like you fast all the time, and it's an extra blessing for your consciousness to make you aware of the fact that, hey, Alhamdulillah, I'm living like I'm fasting all the time, and I'm getting the blessings of one who's fasting all the time. Alhamdulillah, that means all praise to Allah. So we fast in the month of Ramadan. We value fasting. We want the rewards of the fasting. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah says that when you fast, even though your breath smells bad because you're fasting and you're passing off the bad gases and the poisons that are burning out, from you not eating anything, and you go to the bathroom in the daytime and it takes all the rest of the poisons out, but you're not putting anything in. So it's taking out waste and bad things that's already in your body. You're not taking in no more water, no more food, so nothing's coming out but bad stuff. And so you smell. Allah says that when you're fasting during the month of Ramadan, says your fasting breath, your stinky breath, is like the fragrance of fine musk oil to him, like a fine perfume. People love Egyptian musk smell. That's how much Allah wants you to fast in the month of Ramadan, and how much he is pleased with your fasting. And Allah says that fasting is for him. You're only fasting during the month of Ramadan for Allah alone. You're not fasting to lose weight. You're not fasting to become a known as a good faster. A good faster. You're not fasting for your skin beauty and all of that, for your hair beauty or your shape. Now, all of those things are blessings of the Ramadan because you are studying the Holy Quran, and that the nature of the Holy Quran, that's Allah's divine words, it's bringing you back into your best shape when you give yourself to his words. It's bringing you into your best order, your best psychological, your best mental, your best moral, your best spiritual, your best physical order during the month of Ramadan when you're fasting to please your Lord Allah, Most High, creator of everything that exists, Almighty, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the all-hearing. He knows everything about you, brothers and sisters. He knows everything about us. Then, after the month of Ramadan, once in a lifetime, after the fasting of the month of Ramadan, at some point during our lifetime, at some point while we're alive, we ought to fulfill the fifth principle of our religion called the pilgrimage to Hajj. The journey to Mecca, Hajj to Mecca, journey or pilgrimage to Mecca to visit the holy precinct and to visit the sacred house of Allah, the sacred monument of Allah called the Kaaba. It's in a country called Arabia, but Arabia is not holy. The Kaaba in Arabia is holy. That's the house of Allah on earth. It began to be built. It was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, those two prophets, peace be upon them. You know, we have prophets that are father and son, Abraham, Ishmael, David, Solomon. We have prophets like Joseph and Jacob and Isaac, who are relative, and Abraham. We have three and four generations of prophets who are, and Allah sent them. And we have cousins like Jesus and Yahya, called John the Baptist, peace be upon them. And we have brothers like Aaron and Moses, peace be upon them. We call them Musa and Harun, peace be upon them. Right? So this religion has everything that we need, but Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, brought us a message and fulfilled his obligations better than anybody else, better than any other messenger that ever lived. Brothers and sisters, we said a lot. I believe we've let me say this too. If you go on the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca to visit the house of Allah at least one time in your lifetime, Prophet Muhammad said one of the benefits is that Allah forgives every single sin you ever did in life. And there's other rewards that will gain you the benefit of having made the Hajj even if you can't make the Hajj. So that's how sacred and important the Hajj is. Making that pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime, if the journey is affordable, it's very sacred, brothers and sisters. So let us not neglect that. Let us do it. We're going to go into the second part of the Jumu'ah talk for today. And we ask those who are in attendance on the radio to stay on the line. Don't hang up. And alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for staying on the line, brothers and sisters, and for attending the Jumu'ah today here in Los Angeles or any place, wherever you are. Only three Muslims have to be together to make the Jumu'ah prayer. So wherever you are, if there's a few more Muslim men there, then get together and make the Jumu'ah prayer. And we're, as I said earlier, we're joining together to praise Allah, to thank him for all of what he has done for us. So alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu, astainahu, wa astahdihi, wa astaghfiruhu, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And all we're saying is we thank Allah for giving us this guidance, and we seek refuge with Allah against our evils and against our sins, and we know that we send blessings. We're asking Allah to bless us, and we're sending our prayers upon Muhammad, the best of all of the Muslims who ever lived, the best of all of the prophets who ever lived, and peace be upon his family and his companions the world over. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, it's a great blessing, a great honor to be a Muslim. Blessing from Allah, great protection from Allah for us to be Muslims. You have to understand that. Come out of the world. Come out of the false world. Come out of the world of the people who don't believe like we believe, who still are drinking and smoking and using drugs. Come away from the people that don't care about sinfulness, who are doing all kinds of crazy things. We don't want to breathe their information, their knowledge. We don't want to breathe their attitude and their spirit. We don't want to breathe their lies and their falsehoods. We don't want to be pulled by their idea of what life is or by their idea of how society should be set up. We don't want that. The Muslim must see himself as the leader. Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil nas." تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَحْرُوثِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنَ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. It says that Allah has made the believers, you are the best community for the benefit of all of mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. There's part of the other part of the verse says, وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرَهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. It says that of the people of the book, you know, the Jews and the Christians, of the people, there are some who are on right guidance. There are some of them who are on right guidance, brothers and sisters. Some of them, as an individual, has greater faith than you, has greater strength than you. They pray maybe more than you, fast more than you, giving charity better than you giving charity. They wish they had a better way out, but the world has taught them falsehood, so many of them don't have a better way out. They don't know. That's why the Muslim is told to teach. Allah said in the Quran, teaching benefits believers. Teaching benefits believers. So Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. The Kitabi means people of the book. أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, people of the book. As some of the people in the book believe, but most of them are perverted transgressors. They live in perversion. They live in lies. They live in falsehood. They live in guesswork. They live in, you know, this country used to have, this society used to have laws that said that some of us weren't real human beings. It said that about black people. Your whole skin, your whole race, because of your skin color, cause you to be denied human treatment, that you would be treated like a partial animal, that you are only a percentage of a human, that your woman could be violated at any time. Anytime they wanted to, they could use her for entertainment and rape her and sexually abuse her, say they hate her, but at the same time putting their private parts in her private parts and giving her babies. And their baby didn't have preference over the white baby. The mammy or the black woman who bred for the white society of white races, who bred workers for them, she had to stop what she was doing and feed their brat. I didn't mean to say it like that, even though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive him, he said all of them was devils. That they was devils, that babies was devils, and all of them. But we don't believe that way because we believe what Allah says in the Holy Quran. But historically, I'm giving you some history, that black women used to have to stop and breastfeed their slave master's child before she could breastfeed her own child. And if there's anybody, any baby was going to starve or die from malnutrition, it was going to be the black slave baby who was destined to be a slave his whole life. You know, if I'm talking 1790 or 1810, 1817, whatever, and the baby lived to be to 1889 or whatever, he was destined to be a slave his whole life, but not that white baby. And if he had or she had children during her lifetime, that 70, 80, 90 years of her lifetime, that baby was going to be a slave too. They did some horrible and evil things. The Pope should be over here with his bald head. He should be over here asking Almighty God Allah to forgive his kind and forgive his sick doctrine and fake religion for being part of the slavery history and behavior of his kind that came from Europe up in the snow country and did all these evil and horrible things to the ancestors of the people of West Africa, South Africa, Central Africa. He didn't try to stop the French. He didn't try to stop the Spanish, the Portuguese. He didn't try to stop the English. He didn't try to stop the Americans. He didn't try to, the popes, I'm talking about, hundreds of years of popes, didn't try to stop the people from the Netherlands or Germany or Belgium, Congo, or Italy, Rome, all around him. He didn't try to stop them. He didn't try to stop the Russians who got involved. He didn't try to stop none of those people, the Italians and others who went up into East Africa, to Somalia, and Ethiopia, and Eritrea. He didn't try to stop them, for Egyptians, from going up into Rome and abusing those people. He didn't try to stop them. They didn't try to stop them for hundreds of years. Oh, man, why are you being so hard on Maza, on the white man? He'd been hard on himself. There's an old saying, if you made a bed, you got to sleep in it, sucker. Brothers and sisters, we thank Allah for guiding us. I hope that you're getting something out of the Juma. But if you believe in Allah and you believe in his messenger, Muhammad, you'll find a new way that won't make you an evil one. It'll make you the best of people. It won't make you hateful and harmful. I know I sounded today kind of vengeful, but I ain't got to worry about it. Something stronger than me is coming at them. Some angels, whoo! You need to read about the power that Allah has given to some of the angels. That Allah has given an angel power that if he slapped his powers together, he could crush the creation by the will of Allah. When they were abusing Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him in Mecca, some of his own relatives, the worst one were some of his own relatives, uncles, cousins. They hated him because he was bringing in the truth about Allah, and that truth about Allah was slamming and destroying the lies that the Meccans believed in, that their idols and their images was so powerful. So they were abusing Muhammad. They were lying on him. They were trying to kill him. They boycotted him. They murdered some of his relatives, some of his favorite relatives who tried to defend him. And Allah sent an angel to him and said, the angel said, if you command me, I will slam these mountains. I will slam these Meccans, these abusive Meccans, these evil Meccans. I will slam them between these two mountain ranges here. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's called a mercy to the world, you know. He's called the best. He's called not only the best of the prophets, but he's called a mercy to the world. He was so good in his hometown in Mecca that they called him El Amin, the trustworthy ones. They used to put all their jewels and money with him as safekeeping whenever they went traveling somewhere. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the mercy that Allah blessed him with, in that mercy, he said, no. He said, I just wish they would become Muslims. And we, as Muslims, brothers and sisters, that's what we should become. That's what we should wish. We should wish that the whole of America become Muslims. And you should act like it with your friends and your neighbors and your family members. We wish that the whole world will become Muslim. We know it's going to be hard. They tried to kill Prophet Muhammad practicing Al-Islam in front of them. Right over in China right now, they're persecuting tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, even millions of Muslims right now, especially the Uyghur people who are Muslims, been Muslims in China for over 1,000 years. They're oppressing them and trying to, the Han people in China are trying to force the Muslims to return to being the Han belief or to communism, to force them to be evil and wicked and practice paganism and practice worship of the dragons and the monkeys and the snake, year of the chicken and year of the lizard and year of the chimpanzee or whatever. Trying to force the Muslims to believe in some nonsense and paganism and mythology like that. Year of the rooster and all that foolishness. They're not going to do that. Now pray to Allah. Let us pray to Allah sincerely that he has mercy upon those Muslims over there who are suffering and in those prison camps, that they're trying to force to be pagans and evil ones and communists and devils and follow Satan and forcing them to be liars and hypocrites. Let us pray to Allah that Allah will bless them with strength and power to keep al-Islam in their hearts, to keep the remembrance of Allah in their hearts, to remember that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him, he had to withstand tremendous abuse. And he survived it. Allah sent him help, and Allah saved him. And that's the reason that we have al-Islam in many lands over the earth now, and that we have the Quran in many languages, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of communities believe in Allah and practice al-Islam. Brothers and sisters, we're going to close. Alhamdulillah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. Now, all you who believe, all you believers, salute Muhammad with a blessing and a salute of equivalent as you possibly can. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alay Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala alay Ibrahim innaka hamidum majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala alay Muhammad kama baraka ala Ibrahim ala wa ala alay Ibrahim alamin innaka hamidum majid. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family and followers. And, O Allah, bless Muhammad and his family and followers as you did bless Abraham and his family and followers. For surely you are magnified. Surely you are revered, magnified, and blessed. Ameen. O Allah, Allahumma well, subhanAllah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ala Muhammad. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins or anything we may have done that transgressed our duty. Find our feet firmly and give us strength against those who stand against faith. Allahumma Rabbana Allahumma salli, subhanAllah. Forgive me, Allah. O Allah, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. And O Allah, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes, and grant us grace in this world. Grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Ameen. May Allah forgive me for those errors, and have mercy upon us, and forgive us, and we ask Allah to have mercy upon the believers the world over who are being oppressed. We ask Allah that he will continue to guide them and bless them to continue to have faith in him and in his messenger. And we ask Allah that the believers would hold together. And we ask Allah to forgive us and strengthen us and let us keep faith in the Holy Quran. And let us keep faith that Allah has sent angels to protect us and to help us and to put his guidance upon us. And we ask Allah to guide us and save us. And lead us to the path that is straight, called Sirat al-Mustaqim. We're asking Allah to have mercy upon those who are ill and let them get over the sicknesses and the disease and the viruses. And we're asking Allah to have mercy upon all of those who have returned to him and who are in the graves. And we ask Allah that he will forgive them and have mercy upon them and lead them into the paradise. And we ask him a lot to strengthen us as believers and let us join together and continue to make the Jummah and let us continue to have faith in Allah and in his messenger. And we ask him a lot to give us all faith and more strength in our faith. And we ask him a lot to bless us to continue to pray and let us hold together. And we ask him a lot to bless the females to follow the males. And we ask him a lot that our males be strong and that our males be good leaders. And Allah says he has made this religion so that the males would be our imams, that the males would be our sheikhs over the women and the children. And we know that Allah has guided us, and we ask Allah to continue to guide us, be guided to this faith called Al-Islam, and let us continue to be Muslims all of the days of our lives, and let us live the life of the believers and die the death of the believers, and let us not be wasters, because we know that the wasters are the brothers of the Satan. And we ask Allah to bless us not to follow this way of life in this society, because it is misguidance and it will lead us away from the way of Allah. And we ask Allah to bless us not to be of those who follow the footsteps of Satan, because Satan to us is an enemy and for sure a misguider. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Akhmet Salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah. Hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. قد كام الرسول قد كام الرسول الله اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله. This is Salatul Jummah. This is two rakahs of prayer. We ask Allah to bless us and have mercy upon us, forgive us our sin and accept our prayer. Amen.
الله اكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولا آمن أهل الكتاب إلا كان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the dhikr. It's called the remembrance of Allah. This helps our mind remember Allah by practicing these words. And subhanallah means highly glorified is Allah, and he has no imperfection. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Now we're going to say alhamdulillah, which means all praise. It means all praise is due to Allah. Every perfect praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. We're giving that praise to Allah, but we were listening, so our memory has in it and our consciousness has the recognition that we're praying to Allah, and we're trying and we're striving to remember Allah. Now we're going to say Allah is greater and more important than anything. We're giving this to our nature, to our minds, to our memory, and Allah hears us. And we're praising Allah like this. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater and more important than anything or anyone. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. Now we're going to say Al-Fatiha in remembrance of Allah and the closing. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is due to Allah. This means with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All perfect praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Most gracious, most merciful. Maliki yawmiddin. Master or ruler of the day of judgment. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone do we worship, and thee alone whose aid we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight way. Sirat al-ladina and amta alayhim. The way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. Not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Takbir means to say, you're telling the people to say, Allah is greater and more important than anything. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, may Allah's choicest blessings be upon you and your family, your families, and strengthen you and guide you and keep you good, straight in this religion, and be happy that you're Muslim. May Allah bless you to keep your full faith in him and to realize that we are so fortunate. We are so fortunate to believe, to be believers. So inshallah, we will talk to you again next week. We thank Allah for the program, the Blog Talk Radio program that is brought to us, or should say sponsored for us, or carrying our message, and to the director who is bringing our program to us, Brother Amin Yasir Muhammad. We appreciate you all at the Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate his listeners who listen in. I don't know people who call in to his number over there at the Blog Talk Radio and who hear. I just know the ones that call directly to a couple of the lines that we have here. And we appreciate you all calling in and being a part of the Jumu'ah today. The Blog Talk Radio phone number, by the way, if you have a pen handy, the Blog Talk Radio phone number is area code 515-02-9665. So that's 515-602-9665. And if you will go on the internet, and if you will Google Los Angeles Jumu'ah Prayer, I believe it's Los Angeles Jumu'ah Prayer. If you Google that, you will see that Brother Amin has other programs on this line or on his program, and they talk about. The removal of images from worship. Outstanding people. They're calling and they're on the program in other states. I believe they're either in Georgia or in Illinois. And I'm not sure how many of them there are, but I think there's at least three or four other groups that use this line at various times. But you can get it anytime if you will go to Jumu'ah Prayer, Los Angeles Jumu'ah Prayer, or
Los Angeles Jumu'ah prayer, I believe it is. And then those other times will come up. So somebody's advertising or, excuse me, somebody's programming, somebody is recording and speaking and broadcasting. That's the word I'm looking for. Somebody's broadcasting on Friday, I believe Saturday, Sunday, someday, all during the week. And you can get it from this week all the way back to other times. So,
hello.
Yes.
May I help you?
So you can get it from other times, from now until other times on that. So may Allah bless all of you to join in with us. I'm not sure what's going on with the recording now, but I'm on, still on Blog Talk Radio. So brothers and sisters, feel free to call it 515, that's area code, 515-602-9665. And also, like I mentioned, if you go Los Angeles Jumu'ah prayer, you'll see that there are other shows and other broadcasters that are on this line. And so listen in and pick up whatever you can, because as Muslims, we are presenting to you something that is unique, something that is extreme, that's extremely comprehensive, useful, and is life-saving. So we'll talk to you again. And again, we appreciate all of you who join in today, and we appreciate Imam Amin Yasir Muhammad for being our sponsor on broadcast on the Blog Talk Radio broadcast. My name is Muhammad Khatib, and I've been your speaker, bringing you the Jumu'ah lecture for today. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless each and every one of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah. So happy.